Now let's look in our Bible again at John chapter 16, please. And I'll not read this whole text right now, but we'll be looking at it together during our time of the message. But just look at a couple of the verses at the beginning. A tremendous promise that Jesus made to those who are believers. A little while, and you'll not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says, 'A little while, and you'll not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father'? We do not know what he is saying." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'?" We do not know what he's saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves but what I said, 'A little while, and you'll not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Most assuredly," look at this verse very careful, folks, "most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." I want to focus on that 20th verse, especially on this part, the true words of the Lord. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. Over 60 years ago, I found a book in a Minneapolis bookstore written by Vance Havner entitled "The Secret of Christian Joy." When I would be finished with my morning at Northwestern Bible School, I walked down to Dayton's department store in Minneapolis, and there I was a shoe salesman for the 4 years that I was in college. And I always walked by the Northwestern Bible bookstore. And so I had a little bit of time that day, and I stopped in, went through the books, and I saw this book. It attracted my attention by Vance Havner, "The Secret of Christian Joy." And he pointed out that resurrection appearance that Jesus had with his disciples on the night when they were locked in the upper room for fear and despair and hopelessness. And then Jesus came and stood right in their presence. The resurrected Jesus came and stood in the presence of these troubled men. And John the Apostle, who was there, moved by the Holy Spirit, gave us this statement: "Then were the disciples glad." Now remember, they're troubled, they're disturbed, they're upset because Jesus is in the grave. They think he's in the grave. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And Vance Havner pointed out that that is the secret in the Bible concerning experiencing his joy. And during all of these years of serious Bible study of God's Word, I've never found another revelation from the Holy Spirit that is so helpful concerning the secret of Christian joy. I've never found another joy promise in the Bible or authors, human authors, that compares to this, folks. If you hear just one thing today, don't miss this. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Their sorrow was turned into joy when they saw Jesus, who had died 3 days and three nights previously for their sins, had been buried in a grave. Think of this, the Son of God, the Creator, in a grave for 3 days and three nights. That's a reason for sorrow and lamenting. And then he arose from the dead, and he came, appeared to his troubled men, and then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus, the living Christ. And I just want to say this morning, when I find my joy is lagging, or the tendency to be overcome with discouragement or depression, this is always the Holy Spirit's counsel to me. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." I consider that verse as an assignment for each day of life that God has given to me. And I want to say again this morning, the reason for this series of messages from the four Gospels, the Learn of Me series, is inspired by that statement. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And that's why we've been preaching for these several years from the Gospels, to help people see the Lord. In our kind of world, how can we experience His supernatural joy? Now, people, doesn't it seem quite incongruous that Jesus is talking to His troubled men about the fullness of joy at that hour of tragedy and grief and fear? Because soon He's going to be taken to the cross, whipped with a Roman scourge and beaten and spit upon and crowned with thorns. And yet He's talking to them about how to experience His supernatural joy. John 15:11, He made this statement. He said, "These things I've spoken to you," listen to this, folks, "that My joy may remain in you." "These things I've spoken to you," Jesus said, "that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." I notice the world has an answer. Whenever I drive from our house into Manitouche Waters, I go about three or four taverns between here and there. We just need more of them, don't we? And they have on their marquee the happy hour. And you know what they're saying? "We serve alcohol."